Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, hands-on practical exercises, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. Hey, my friend, and welcome to the show. This is Jake Castleman with No More Desire. Let's say that you had a relapse with porn recently. You feel all the typical side effects over the days afterward. You know, I know exactly how it is. The low mood, trouble focusing, trouble feeling motivated, trouble connecting with others. You feel a little more unhinged. You have brain fog. And you've got these cravings and these fantasies that constantly keep distracting you and making it hard to stay present and enjoy life and being with your loved ones. And underneath all that is the shame and the guilt, the feeling that you're dirty, you're messed up, that if others knew about your addiction, they wouldn't love you or associate with you. I know what all that's like, man, and I know about the commitment. I'm never going to do that again. Right, saying, I'm all done, this is never going to happen again. And then a few days go by and you start to feel a little better. The cravings are still there, but at least some of the fog has passed. You feel a little more motivated, a little better mood. You start feeling like maybe you're getting the hang of it. Maybe you've got it handled, right? Maybe you've got this sobriety thing under control. And maybe you don't need porn anymore. And then something happens. Maybe it's stress at work, conflict at home with your spouse, or just a bad day. And you relapse and you start the whole cycle over again. And every time you do this, you feel worse and worse about your problem with porn. You feel more and more ashamed of the behavior, and often more and more ashamed of who you are. And you feel that this is a reflection of who you are. And you wonder, if you feel so bad about it, why can't you just give it up and move on? Why are you constantly drawn back to this thing that you hate? Now, let me tell you something that can sound or feel confusing or discouraging at first. At least it was confusing for all of my clients at first when I discussed it with them, talked about it in the introduction to my program. The strange and paradoxical thing about porn addiction, or really any addiction for that matter, is that the intense hate and shame that we feel for ourselves or for the addictive behavior is actually a big part of what keeps driving us back to the addiction. And that might sound strange, right? You'd think if you hate the thing, or you say, I can't do this because it obviously is bad for me, right? And we fear it and we want to run from it, stay as far away from it as possible. And we think all these intensely negative thoughts about this thing. Wouldn't that cause us not to go back to it? So that's the paradoxical thing about the psychology of addiction and shame. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I'm really going to delve into five different reasons that feeling shame and negative emotion about something can drive us back to it. And then I'm going to give you a few solutions of what we can do about these negative feelings so we can replace them with positive ones that are going to actually fuel recovery rather than keep driving us back to our addiction. So we're often taught in our households and in society that the worse that we feel when we do something wrong, the more likely we are to stop doing that thing. And in some cases, that can be true, right? Negative feelings about something or guilt or fear can actually be a great short-term motivator for change, not a long-term motivator, but a short-term motivator. That said, when some of us feel bad about something, it's often not from a place of guilt. In other words, the kind of the concept, I did something bad, which is guilt, but instead it's from a place of shame. I am bad because of the thing I did. And that kind of shame we can carry around with us, and it can influence our lives in all sorts of destructive ways, especially in ways of addiction. We feel our mistake isn't simply a reflection of what we did, but a reflection of the type of person that we are. And when we feel bad about who we are, not just what we did, this in turn causes us to repeat the negative behavior again and again and again. And this happens for a few reasons. Exactly 5 reasons. And we're going to talk about those. So the first reason is perfectionism. Our mind believes mistakes define us when we struggle with perfectionism. And perfectionism is tightly linked with, I would say based on my experience working with clients and my experience in the addiction field, it's particularly connected with porn addiction. I think people who struggle with perfectionism tend to go to porn addiction over any other addiction perhaps these days. But I could be biased. I'm not basing that on any kind of fact, just my personal anecdotal experience. I think that perfectionism, as far as in my experience, working with addicts both on a voluntary and professional basis, perfectionism's always involved. And perfectionism is this, again, this belief that mistakes make us bad, or we want to avoid mistakes at all costs. We want to avoid the feelings of shame or embarrassment or negative feelings from mistakes, and so we try to prevent ourselves from making them at all, or denying them when others bring them up, or avoiding situations where we would make mistakes or do things imperfectly, which prevents us from trying new things and taking risks. It gives us a lot more fear, right? And we have trouble leaning into that fear. And these kinds of feelings and this avoidance can cause us to want to escape and numb out. And it doesn't mean we can't overcome it in ways, you know, or live differently, right? It doesn't mean, obviously, in the long run that we can't heal from it and really overcome perfectionism and really do those things that we feel afraid of and lean into the fear and conduct ourselves differently and think about the world and ourselves differently. And one of the aspects of that is really turning mistakes, rather than them being a reflection of us being flawed as a human being, we can see them as a normal part of progression and learning, and to see our mistakes as learning experiences for the future. Rather than something to regret and look down upon ourselves for, we say, what did I learn from this? So sometimes, right, when we struggle with perfectionism, we believe that only bad people do bad things. Therefore, we must be a bad person because we make mistakes. We can really dive deep into that shame that perfectionism comes from, and it can become this cage that we live in. And this unfair, unconscious belief keeps us locked in an endless cycle of the same mistakes over and over and over and over, in part due to our negative self-image. And then another reason that we can go back to addiction again and again, even though it fills us with such negative emotion, is just the pure suffering of it. When we feel so bad and so horrible about something, that stress, that suffering weighs us down. The worse that we feel about ourselves, the more that we suffer, right? The more we really focus in on and hone in on our weaknesses and how flawed and messed up we are, This suffering can fuel a desire to escape and self-soothe, such as through destructive behaviors. And I would say that that can become our default, right? When we are caught up in this perfectionism and negative self-image and suffering, we can go to destructive means of coping and escaping rather than healthy or productive means of getting kind of an escape or satisfaction in life, something to relax or take the edge off. Things like that would be meditation or, you know, gratitude breathing or little things that we get interested in, maybe making or creating something like, some of my clients, write or make things, right? Right. It could be reading. It could be music, right? Playing a musical instrument or just listening to music. Hopefully that's music that's actually good for the mind. But we're not going to default to these if we are in a state of high anxiety and high stress. You know, we're not going to default to these if we're in a state of high anxiety and high stress, because if we're in a state of high anxiety, high stress, negative self-image, we'll talk about this a little more in another reason, but this can really teach us that we deserve less than what is good. We don't deserve happiness, and so we seek out destructive means of coping. The third reason, so we have perfectionism, suffering, and then the third reason is intensity. And this is a big one. This is one that I've talked about in other episodes. Negative emotions can add to the mental stimulation of an experience. This is a hard concept to grasp, but essentially the idea is this. The basest parts of our human brain favor one thing only, and that is intensity. Doesn't matter if that's negative or positive in a lot of circumstances. As long as the experience is intense, our mind will be drawn back to it. And this is why we need to focus on what we do want. Right? Our mind may be drawn back to the thing, even if we feel so negative about it, if we say, I'm not going to do this, right? We're focusing on the thing itself. Even if we hate it, the hatred is an intense and highly stimulating emotion. Resisting an addiction can actually cause us to engage with it again and again and again. And it's like Carl Jung says, a famous psychologist, he says, what we resist persists. And that's 100% true. It's 100% true. And so we're going to talk about what we need to do instead of that a little later on. But before we move forward, I just want to add a little plug here, a little self-promotion, but something that can really help you. My free ebook on nomoredesire.com, if you'll go pick that up, I talk about a lot of these concepts and far, far more. An ebook 80 pages loaded with tons of information from the last decade of my experience in my own recovery, and also experience working with clients and helping others recover. All of that information, all that kind of a general overview of a lot of the things that I teach is in that book. And I believe it will help you a ton. So go to nomoredesire.com and download that ebook. It is completely free for you. So reason number four, right? Reason number one, two, and three, perfectionism, suffering, and intensity. And then reason number four is focus. We get what we focus on. Okay, this is another big reason that we will go back again and again to the negative thing that we hate. So kind of as I was talking about before, the concept of we get what we focus on. If I say I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this, whatever that thing is, be it negative or positive, or I want this, or I don't want this, right? I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I want this, I don't want this. That positive and negative form to our conscious mind makes sense, but to our unconscious mind is the same thing. And I'm being 100% real here. This has been studied within psychology. This is how our mind works. If we think about the thing, right, whatever this is, that could be fighting with my spouse. I don't want to fight with my spouse. I'm not going to fight with my spouse. It could be our addiction. I'm not going to watch porn today. I'm not going to watch porn today. It could be our homework, right? I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm not going to procrastinate my homework or whatever it might be, right? I'm not going to procrastinate. What we're focusing on in those situations is I'm going to fight with my spouse. I'm going to look at porn. I'm going to procrastinate. We're focusing on that negative thing that we do not want. And that is how our brain functions. If I focus on something I don't want, I am more likely to get that thing. So if I feel horrible about porn and I am consistently focusing on not doing it, I am more likely to do it. It's very, very important to understand this. It's very, very important to understand that that's how this works. So the last thing that we'll talk about here, the fifth reason, is self-punishment. And I kind of touched on this earlier. But self-punishment is this belief, I deserve to be punished. Right, and feeling horrible about ourselves because of our addictions may cause us to unconsciously feel a drive to harm or destroy ourselves. We may engage in addictive behaviors because our unconscious mind believes that we should be punished for our mistakes. After all, if I am a bad person because of my addiction or because of any reason, because of my anger, because of anxiety or depression, because of weaknesses or insecurities, if I'm a bad person because of those things, if I'm unworthy of love, don't I deserve to live a life of suffering? Right? We often think that way about bad people, quote unquote, right? And bad people really are just people who've suffered a lot of pain, insecurity, and all of that pain and that suffering and insecurity has then turned to hurting other people. And that is a very unfortunate kind of thing. When we choose to do things like that, or when we kind of become that person, it is a miserable place to be. But we can think this way about quote unquote bad people, right? I believe we all have the light of Christ or the goodness of God, depending on what your beliefs are in within each one of us, that light, that love, and it can, that that love can heal us. It can turn us to the good. But we might believe that a bad person would deserve to suffer. And so we may think of ourselves that way, that we deserve to suffer. So intense emotions of shame because I'm watching porn will not help me stop. It will often cause me to seek it out more often and with greater intensity because I'm punishing myself for my bad acts. So that's very heavy stuff, but hopefully it's given you some insights into your own mind and maybe some things that you struggle with or for a loved one who struggles with addiction. So what are the solutions? What do we do instead of this? Solutions to shame and porn addiction. There are a few things that we can do. There are many things that I teach my clients within the program, a vast array of a structured program that takes them through hands-on exercises for months on end. But as far as just here on the episode, what I can tell you about is just a few things that we can do. Four things to be exact. So the first thing is focus on what you do want. Okay, again, kind of touched on this earlier, but instead of thinking, I'm never going to watch porn again, don't do that. Don't think about your commitment for the rest of your life of how you're never going to do something. That's not what we need to focus on. We need to focus on building a recovery mindset and a recovery lifestyle. So start focusing on what you will do with your time. What new hobbies, interests, purposes, service can you get busy with? It may be difficult. It may feel difficult to motivate yourself to do these things at first, but if you stick with it and practice, eventually you will enjoy other interests more and more as they take the place of your porn addiction. So focus on what you do want, what you are going to do, what you will spend your time and your focus on. What is that thing or those things? Who are those people you're going to serve? Okay, get focused on that. And then use relapses as learning experiences. That's number two. Use relapses as learning experiences. Instead of allowing yourself to become overwhelmed by shame and regret because of a relapse, ask yourself what you can learn from the experience. What negative thoughts, emotions, or situations led you to the relapse in the first place? What can you do differently next time to avoid these factors and transform your situation? Take a look at that. What thoughts led me here? What happened in the days or the weeks before this? I train my clients to do this. One of my clients that I started with months ago, he had no conception at all that his addiction to porn was coming from any kind of source, or that anything was leading up to him acting out. He just thought he was sexually driven and had sexual cravings. And so then he would engage with porn simply because he was a man and he had sexual urges. And so those sexual urges would kind of overwhelm him. And obviously he'd come to depend on this thing chemically. And so then he would, the cravings would become too much. And then he would give in to porn and masturbation, right? That was his only conception, the cravings and the chemical component to the addiction. That is so little of the story, my friends. That is a very basic level of our understanding of addiction. We have to go so much deeper. What insecurities, stresses, life circumstances, what things are we trying to avoid, escape, self-soothe? What is leading us to the addiction? And this is, again, what I take people through exercises in doing and take them step by step in understanding and really going through a process together and in the program that they work to begin to practice habits of really observing thoughts, observing actions, observing their life, and determining changes that need to be made. Then the third thing is to reduce harm. Now, this is harm reduction. This advice is a bit unorthodox, but it is extremely helpful, and it's already helped people that I've worked with. I think it's significant because we can often think that when it comes to addiction, we need to either be all in or all out. Okay, and let me explain. Instead of expecting yourself to quit porn cold turkey, reduce the harm of relapses. That's harm reduction. In other words, if you would typically spend, let's say, an hour watching porn and masturbating, see if you can decrease it to a half hour, or see if you can reduce the intensity of the material that you're watching, right? Something less intense, less explicit. And I'm not telling you to seek it out. I'm not saying use this as an excuse. I'm telling you, if you come to the point where you are completely overwhelmed and the temptations become too much and you make a conscious decision, you say, okay, I know I'm way too far and I know I'm about to do this. I'm going to reduce harm as much as I can. So you reduce the intensity of the material, you reduce the time that you spend, or you see if, to be completely frank, you can only masturbate and not watch porn. Depending on the person, that may not be a thing for you. but you reduce the time and intensity of the experience as much as possible. Reduce the harm. I've never had a client who could quit cold turkey. I didn't quit cold turkey. Once I started taking real strides in developing a recovery mindset and lifestyle a decade ago, it still took me months to wean off of porn, and then it took me years to wean off of masturbation. It doesn't all happen at once, and it's so rare for someone to quit cold turkey all at once. For most people, it doesn't happen that way. So show yourself some compassion as you learn to reduce the frequency and intensity of your addictive behaviors. And then the fourth thing I'll tell you is to celebrate progress. Get focused on your victories. Celebrate the days that you're sober. I have my clients do a daily check-in, daily journaling or inventory of their day, their weaknesses and strengths and other things, very specific questions. And part of that is celebrating progresses of being sober and days of being clean. We need to really get focused on the days that we're clean. When we relapse or slip up, we determine what we can learn from the mistake and then move on, right? We don't need to give any more intense emotion to that experience. We can celebrate any ounce of progress. If you used to watch porn 5 times a week, right, let's say, and now you watch it 4 times, celebrate that. That's progress. Focus on your successes and let that focus motivate you to do even better next time and push for eventual long-lasting sobriety from porn. So with these solutions, they can help you immensely, my friend. If you want to take things to the next level, join my program. Go to nomoredesire.com/program to check out my intensive recovery program. I am an intensive recovery mentor. I help people recover and overcome porn addiction for good. I'm going to teach you a recovery mindset and a recovery lifestyle. And I'm going to teach you the exact reasons that you personally go to addiction and that you the exact things you need to do personally to overcome it. We'll work on those things together using multiple resources and an excellent structure of hands-on exercises and hands-on ways of and practical ways of dealing with addiction and stepping into long-term recovery. So check that out at nomoredesire.com/program or go to the description below. The link is there for you. Another thing, of course, grab the ebook. It is free there for you. If you're not ready to take that big of a step into the program, the ebook is a great place to start. So go to nomoredesire.com to get that. And then if you'll do something to help me out, my friend, I want this podcast to reach as many people as possible. We need to support each other and we need to help each other recover from porn addiction and other addictions. And if you can rate this podcast, that's going to help people out a lot because that's going to guide more and more people to my podcast so they can get help too. And it's going to help me out by enabling me to reach a broader audience and do more with this thing that I consider a calling to help people. So rate this podcast right now. If you enjoy it, give me a rating. I'd really appreciate it, my friend. And I hope you have a blessed and amazing day. God bless and much love. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.